This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Bye. Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
We have a chance to see not one, but two Chicago teams sweep this weekend. In this part of the Cubs schedule, do they need a sweep to make you happy this weekend?
No, they don't. They need to win the series, though.
Suzuki pops it up right field. Might be playable for Benson. Benson battling the sun. That's a fair ball. The sun got in the eyes of Benson. Swing and a miss. Ball game is over. The Cubs win it by a score of 2-0. Dansby lines one down the left field line, base hit. It's going to go to the corner. Look at Pete Crow Armstrong racing around third. Swing and a miss, it's all over. The Cubs are 15 games above 500. They open up a four-game lead over St. Louis in the division race.
They need to win the series, though.
You're right.
Here's the thing, is that I'm hype machine today.
Brian Urlacher.
Okay.
And also, what better chance do the White Sox have than facing the Orioles this weekend?
The White Sox could leave this series and no longer be the team with the worst record in the American League.
Meanwhile.
The 0-2 pitch, a swing and a miss, and the Orioles collect a three-game sweep of the Chicago White Sox.
White Sox! White Sox!
So White Sox.
Layla Rahimi. Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I had so much hope on Friday, and we had sunshine for a few hours, and then the low temperatures came back.
It also rained later that day.
It did rain later that day, and the funniest part was I was like, huh, that feels like rain. And everybody's like, no, it's not raining. And I was like, but it feels like it's raining.
And it rained all weekend for the White Sox, apparently, at least as far as L's came.
But not runs. Like, that's the silly part.
They don't score runs.
It was a low-scoring lame-o series that just made me frustrated.
Here's the key stat from the White Sox world point of view. Their last seven losses have been by two runs or less. That just tells you where they are. They can hang. They're not last year's White Sox. They can hang around.
White Sox. So... White Sox.
Yeah.
It really was. Like, when I saw how the game ended yesterday, I was like...
You know what you weren't? You know what you weren't when you saw how the game ended yesterday? Surprised.
No, I... Here we are talking about it. And the funniest part was both of these franchises were indeed the Spider-Man meme. Like, Orioles fans were thinking... Oh, finally a team worse than the Orioles. And Sox fans were thinking, oh, finally a team on par. And then I think, unfortunately, talent won out because that Sox offense. We will get into a deeper dive segment regarding the latest on Luis Robert because He should, if nothing else, be a trade asset right now. And
he's not even that.
The decline is mortifying. And it really is, especially when you consider how much talent he had. Let's get to the proper, shall we, now that I've derailed myself successfully with Sox
talk. Derailed, you know. We went out, put the Sox flag down, and then it set on fire.
This is the midday show where we do talk a lot of White Sox. That doesn't change. That did not change. I've been here for 5 years, and that hadn't changed. In the words of a lot of people, ain't a damn thing changed there. This is Rahimi and Harris on the score. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and you. Our producers are Ray Diaz, wearing the Spider-Man meme t-shirt. Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer is helping out as well. And our video team, we are on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, the score. They are Matt and I, Jenna Duddleston and Connor O'Donnell. Poor Jenna. I'm not trying to marry her off.
Sounds like you are, though.
Ray, it's always bad when I can hear Ray when I have headphones on from the other studio when it's soundproof. That's bad.
That just tells me it's not soundproof. That's what I've learned working here. Is it anything that you think is soundproof isn't as soundproof as you think.
No, I give the power to Ray.
Okay.
Ray has the power in this scenario. And unfortunately, the Sox offense did not. A team that did do what they were supposed to do over the weekend. Sorry, Jenna. I apologize. I accidentally said O'Donnell instead of Duddleston. There's a lot of D's and L's. All right. So here's my issue with the Cubs-Red series. Nothing. Nothing is my issue.
Whoa! We're clean? Even though they lost one of those games and you thought that this... You mentioned on Friday anyway. I don't know if you believe this with all your heart, mind, and soul.
I said
but
both
you
teams
mentioned
had
a double sweep.
Yeah.
You were talking double sweep.
I stand by that. That was the best chance. And then things happened. Yeah. You know, but I still think that, yes, that was your best chance at a double sweep weekend in Chicago sports. Absolutely.
The Sox haven't played the Rockies yet, right?
No.
So, that would be a better chance, depending on who the Cubs play at that time. Because let me tell you something about the Rockies. They've got 9 wins still. They had 9 wins on Friday when we walked out of the parking lot at Wrigleyville Dogs. And yes, I did put the S back in there because that's what the sign says. But they actually have 3 wins since May 2nd. You know who else has 3 wins since May 2nd?
Us.
Scottie Scheffler.
Damn.
Does that put it in perspective for you?
The big consistent one, Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, so, you know, the Rockies are really bad. That's a different level.
Is he even happy anymore when he wins, or is he just like, this is clockwork?
No, it's not clockwork. Golf is hard.
Maybe the Masters is where he's like, yeah, that's a shame.
Golf is hard, so I'm pretty sure he's celebrating every single weekend that he takes a tournament.
Yeah, someone who just picked up golf as a hobby, I can tell you winning feels amazing. So he's probably like riding high right now.
My whole goal is to just fail less. Like that's where I stand with golf.
You know what? That sounds like a better goal in terms of realism.
Fail less.
Yeah. So the Rockies are terrible. So when the Sox play the Rockies, depending on who the Cubs play, they'll have a good chance of getting a double sweep. Perhaps, and maybe their best chance of the season of getting a double sweep. Meanwhile, the Cubs just handle business. 14-4 in this stretch, Layla. 14-4.
In the Marshall schedule scale that we change all the time.
We only got 3 games left. It was a 21 game versus sub-500 teams. I said win 15 of them. They need one more win. If they get a series win against the Nationals starting Tuesday, they're in good plus territory, 16-5.
The most surprising aspect of the Cubs and Red series was how they lost the first game of the series. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't do that, lose first games of series. And you certainly don't do it by giving up 6 runs to the other team. That was probably the most surprising part. But then the way they were able to come back on Saturday and yesterday, and yesterday's game, I think, just told a lot of truths about the team as a whole. Let's just start with the fact that I think being satisfied with taking 2 of 3 from the Reds when the team continues to just hit high watermark after high watermark above 500, 35-22. Yeah, I'm satisfied. I don't think that's an issue. Do you? Like, given how they're racking up wins, I don't know that we have a series coming up where we say, even before, I will say July 4th, are you looking at anything saying to yourself, it's a must anything for the Cubs? I don't think that answers yes. For me, it's no.
I think the must part comes in just continue to win series at home and split road trips. And it's interesting because you ask, is anything must? It's not must per se, but you don't have that much breathing room between yourselves, the St. Louis Cardinals, and now the surging just swept the Phillies Brewers, who have won 7 in a row.
Right.
So you need to continue to handle business. And I think this road trip is pivotal because Washington has one of the better records in the National League since the middle of May. Detroit is obviously Detroit, team with the best record, bar none, in all of baseball. And they're going to have to see Tarik Skubal in that series.
Yeah, they
and,
are.
And, okay. And then the Phillies
pipe
at Philadelphia.
Down over their best record in baseball.
The Phillies at Philadelphia. This is a great nine-game stretch because it's 9 games in 9 days. There's no time off.
I appreciate the scene setter, but I also think this. This, for me, is way less about anything that other teams have done, and it's more about the Cubs having main character energy. This is about the situation that they have put themselves in. When that changes, then I reassess. But as long as they're going at this clip and finding these creative ways to win, and we are really starting to see Craig Counsell cook, it's something that we touched on with Ian Happ last year. But when you can, or last week rather, but when you consider how he's using his personnel, how we are talking about the bullpen, for example, where on Friday we say, all right, knowing that these four or these three relievers are all former starters, how are they going to be used? And that'll tell us what's going to happen on Saturday. Then he creatively goes out there, and we'll get into it in a couple segments, creatively goes out there and utilizes Pomeranz, Ben Brown, and then Keller, Flexen, and the like. You know, that's something that we saw very much on display over the weekend. Craig Counsell is using everybody creatively, and I think he's also, I don't know if it's the right thing to make guys like Michael Busch kind of earn their keep, but when you see him in a pinch hit situation, because or when you see him start the game against a lefty and then you see him hit that home run into the wind against a lefty and he talks about where his shoulder placement is, where his head placement is, and how important that is to not fly open. What more can you say about him needing to earn regular appearances against left-handed pitchers? Like, this is something that can't just be a continuous platoon. There's got to be some elevation there, and he's doing everything he can to, I think, earn more at-bats against lefties.
Busch is doing his thing, and he's doing it in a way, because we wondered after he had to sit on Friday and Saturday, he's like, okay, so what is the plan for Michael Busch? What is the plan for not just Busch, but really how this lineup is going to be constructed, whether it's versus lefties versus righties, who's on the mound, how far down Busch will be, whether PCA will bat cleanup most of the time, some of the time. We're still trying to figure that out. And I think Craig Counsell is too, but he's doing it under the guise of having a team with a 37-22 record. So he has more margin for error, if you will. He can experiment a little more if he wants to. But I would argue, because you're in that position, this is the time now where Michael Busch should be seeing left-handed starting pitching.
Right.
Run him out there. See what's what. In the game yesterday, he bats sixth in the order, sandwiched between Dansby Swanson and Nico Hoerner, and it helps when, you know, Swanson goes 1-for-4 with an RBI double. It helps when Nico Horner's behind you and he's 3-for-4 driving in 2 runs. And you're just sandwiched in the middle, drawing a couple of walks, getting an RBI single off a left-handed reliever in Bruce Sutter, and then also hitting a 2-run homer. It's his first home run in a long time. It's 8th of the season. But Michael Busch needs to be afforded more opportunities because, frankly, he's earned them as a guy who's not only hit right-handed pitching well, but has shown, even though he hasn't been as successful against lefties, if you leave him out there, he can get the job done.
Well, and he also had a lot of important points that he made when it came to his approach. Like, that's the other thing, is how happy was I when I heard Matt Shaw talk about his approach to just get PCA home last week in the game on Tuesday where we sang the stretch against the Rockies. I don't care about the opposing team at that point. I care about what you're doing at the plate, what your mindset is as a young hitter. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. This is Raheemy and Harris on the Score as we continue to talk about the Cubs taking 2 or 3 from the Reds. And let's listen to Michael Busch, because I want to hear what he had to say, because that man does deserve more at bats, especially when, I don't know, he's batting cleanup for you a lot of times.
How about the left-on-left RBI knock today? You don't get those opportunities a lot, but you step up there today. What's your approach in those situations?
Yeah, just, you know, similar mindset. Be aggressive, and been working on a few things, just, you know, kind of doing exactly what that was, and just, like, staying up the middle on pitches like that, and, you know, happy to come through.
The wins in the month of May. I mean, you win this series, another one. Just how do you summarize how you guys have been playing as of late?
Yeah, I think we've been playing just, you know, complete baseball. you know, we've been driving in runs, we've been pitching, we've been playing defense, we've been, you know, getting bases when we need to, whether that's stealing bases, first to third, second to home. You know, it's the ability to win games in multiple ways. So it's been fun, and just look forward to keep it going.
I just want to point this out. In his career, Michael Bush, against left-handed starters specifically, is a 267 hitter with an 809 OPS. Against right-handers, he's a 241 hitter with a 765 OPS. I understand what Craig Counsell's trying to do. I'm not even saying he's making the wrong decisions. Again, his team is tied for the best record in the National League. But this specific thing, the Michael Bush usage versus Justin Turner and how that's going to play out, that intrigues me, and I'm interested to see how he carries this forward as we get closer and closer to not only the trade deadline, but also the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, either way, he's earning his keep. It shouldn't just be, oh, this guy's only going to start when a righty is starting. That just, I know that that's baseball 101 a lot of times, but not when you need that importance out of this batter and there is an expectation and a concern about getting better. Let him have his reps. He's earned it. You have earned it because your team is so far above 500 at 37-22. That's 15 games. Let him go. Let him do his thing. Try to figure it out. There's no better example of just having him stay in the lineup and produce than yesterday when he was 2-for-2 and then also had 2 walks. So he's on base 4 times. You know, given the home run and how that all played into it, you're talking about significant amounts of bases there as one individual. And that's what I always think about too as a hitter, is how many bases are you responsible for in a game? So that meant a lot to me. And just the power that he showed to hit that home run into the wind off of Martinez, I thought was just, it's worth a discussion. You know, that not everybody was doing that, except for maybe Ellie De La Cruz. My goodness, I think that thing is still landing somewhere.
The hardest hit ball in the Statcast era at Wrigley Field, 117.4 miles per hour. And they're like, the wind. Ellie's like, I don't care about your wind.
If you've ever seen Ellie De La Cruz in person, you're just like, that guy can play any sport at the highest level. Like, he just looks like, some people look hitterish. He looks every sport-ish.
But can he ground, can he field a routine ground ball to a shortstop with the bases loaded? That's my question, because I don't think he can, because I saw Dansby Swanson ran hard and he over here double clutching. Like, what? That's crazy that Dansby Swanson was able to beat that out for an RBI single.
Yeah, he's on a tear ever since they announced the baby that they're expecting. I think
Dansby Swanson.
Yes, it was Dansby Swanson. What did you think of the Flow headband, by the way?
Flow headband was marvelous and spectacular. I saw Cliff Floyd and Cole Wright modeling them on the post game show. And listen, man, good times at Wrigley Field. Here are the numbers I want. These are not lottery numbers, but I'm about to read you, Layla. Here are the numbers here that I want to read you on the day of the flow headband. Obviously, they gave up no runs, which is always good. But they also went 3-4-2-2-2-7. It wasn't until yesterday they scored more than 4 runs in any game on that homestand.
Again, not to blame the weather, but just knowing it has affected my general state, do you think it factored in?
Oh, it was a heavy factor. But
I felt like it was.
The reason I read those numbers out is, despite those low totals on offense, the fact that they went 5-1 on the homestand, and yes, I know one of those series was against the Colorado Rockies, so I'm not putting too much on it, but I've been talking about it. They've got to find a way to win the low-scoring close games, and they seem to have come away with ways to do that here in the last 2 weeks or so against these bad teams.
Yeah, and again, the bad teams are not my concern, and the Reds are better. I think we all can agree the Reds are better than their record indicates.
They're definitely better than the Rockies.
Especially when you know that Terry Francona is managing that team. Like, yeah, that's the other part of this.
They should be better as the season goes on.
They also made a lot of acquisitions, both in this past offseason and especially the one before, that would indicate that they are in a better position than it might seem. But again, given what the Cardinals have done so far this season, given that the Brewers are playing better, and we knew health would be a factor for them, the Cubs are still 15 games above 500.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main part of this for me, as to why people can give themselves some time. You know, you can allow somebody to get some more reps off of lefties, for example. You can be a little more cautious when it comes to, say, maybe a guy like Kyle Tucker. And we haven't even talked about that. So let's. We know it's a jammed ring finger. He was sliding into second base. Let's listen to what Craig Counsell had to say about Tucker, because we don't know. They've got the day off today. If that's going to be enough for him come game one against Washington tomorrow.
Yeah, he just jammed his right ring finger on the slide just day to day. He's gone out there a bunch. He's been out there every day. And he's shown no signs of any fatigue because of it. He's on base a ton, obviously, so he's running the bases a lot. Had a lot of action in the outfield, especially yesterday, and even today early in the game. But it's all good.
Did they X-ray him or did they X-ray?
They did, nothing.
All right. Where are you in the scale of concern with Kyle Tucker and hearing that news?
On a scale from 0 to 10, I'm at a 2.
I'll be at like a 3.
The X-ray, once the X-rays were negative, this is just about, you know, the natural healing and maybe some inflammation soreness. They have a day off today, as you said, Layla. And if he's not in the lineup even tomorrow, I'll be like, that's okay. Just get him right and then let him go. Because they're going to be resting these guys anyway because they have 26 games in 27 days, I believe it is.
Yeah, Ian Happ was talking to us about that stretch. That it's hairy, but I feel like the gauntlet they've already gotten through. Now this is just get to work and experiment and get a little weird. Change up your lineup a little bit if you need to.
Don't get weird.
Let some guys get some reps. Don't just give them the hook after the starter is gone.
I think that and just understanding that despite having limited options with starting pitching, they've been able to kind of forge ahead with this, and the bullpen has kicked it in. We're in good shape now.
About that bullpen kicking in, we need to ask the question, is the Cubs bullpen good? Raheem and Harris next on the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. America for America.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here's the 2-2 pitch on the way to Fraley. Swing and a miss, strike three. Presley strikes out the first man he faces. Swing and a miss, strike three. Got him in the high hard one. And that is out number two. Swing and a miss, strike three. Presley works 1-2-3. We go to the bottom of the eighth inning. And the 1-2. Swing and a miss. It's all over. The Cubs are 15 games above 500 and run a very successful homestand. The Cubs against Colorado and Cincinnati win 5 out of the 6 games.
Okay, I love this call for so many reasons. That is Pat Hughes. Of course, he, Ron Coomer, Zach Zaidman, and the crew all got to sing. Did you guys see them sing the seventh inning stretch on Saturday, by the way?
I did indeed. They were lovely.
And Paul was lead mic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Paul Zerang was leading it. I was proud of Paul.
Yeah, attaboy, Paul. I think he said tree and everything. Did you guys see that? I had a good kick out of that. So, shout out to 670 The Score for stretch.
Yeah, we're
week.
Just the home of the seventh inning stretch now. Look
yes,
at us.
Yes.
I don't hate it.
Can't wait until Paul gets the same emails I do about it.
They're undefeated when we do our thing as a station, right?
The fear that I had in the 11th inning when we had sung Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Oh, that they were going to lose the game?
The Cubs were trailing, and I was like, we'll never be allowed back in here. Because how do you lose to the Rockies?
Matt Shaw wasn't going to let that happen, Layla.
Matt Shaw didn't let it happen. But my favorite reason for that call that we just heard was not, it was not Pat Hughes' artful ways on the mic. That's a given. It was the fact that after every single highlight, there was some sort of dramatic organ riff. Did you hear it? Every single one was like Punishment Oregon. Organ. Not Oregon Trail. That would be a different thing. Punishment Oregon should be the new nickname for the Trailblazers, honestly. But no, I think in this case, it was like just the organ of punishment playing after every strikeout.
Listen, if I could have an organ in my house and it wouldn't disturb my neighbors, I would let the organ do work.
You would have an organ in your house?
Yeah.
I want to play guitar, but yeah, same idea.
Yeah, just something rude. Ominous. There's something ominous about the tones of the organ. And the organist doing
their
thing. I
just love the organ of punishment. The organ of punishment.
A lot of people would name a body part. But in my case, I'm definitely thinking of like the musical instrument, the organ. Jameson Taillon went 6 1/3. He gave up just 2 earned runs, 3 hits, had only 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. But it's the way he was able to just dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge when it came to knowing how to throw against the Reds, and again, just the way he's able to reinvent himself, Marshall, and we know he's like, oh, this year I'm going to try the sweeper. No, that's not going to work. I'll have a clunker here and there in the beginning of the season, but let's try something different. We talked about it with Ian Happ last week, but before we revisit that, just listen to how he talked about it after the win yesterday.
Like right now, it's kind of status quo. Just keep my head down, knockout starts. I can get through lineups, you know, with my pitch mix and command and my preparation and you know, watching video on guys and stuff. But I do feel like lately the sweeper hasn't felt very good, but at least now my curveball is a lot better than it has been as a Cub. So it's like you can't have it all. You know, that's kind of the perks of throwing 6 pitches, and also a downside is it's hard to maintain all of them all the time. So it'd be nice if I had that pitch a little sharper, but you know, I have other pitches and other things I can do to get guys out.
Oh, you know, just casual.
Like, I got 5 pitches. Other pitches to choose from at this
okay,
one doesn't
you
work out.
Darvish. Like, what's happening there?
Listen, Jameson Taillon, and the thing is, he's not overpowering because he's pitching 6 1/3 and only striking out 2 guys, right? But and the other thing is, he does lead the major leagues in home runs allowed, and the one he gave up yesterday was a doozy. But I thought for a moment before Ella De La Cruz went deep down the right field line that perhaps he was going to escape without giving up a home run. It didn't matter, though, because the offense was good enough to get you some runs.
I know, and poor Ella De La Cruz, after the passing of his sister playing yesterday, I felt that must have been heartbreaking. And I can't imagine trying to go to work after that.
He powered through, and we'll see exactly how that affects him going forward, but it's hard to go to work after something that traumatic, let's be honest. But
to have any focus, and he was able to do so.
Just a sad state of things, really. I mean, the personal life and the blend with playing sports specifically is always weird because fans are weird about it.
Yeah.
Like, there'll be fans, if he didn't play yesterday, have been like, oh, why aren't you playing? Like, what? Because they'd be talking about their props or their fantasy baseball team or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's a different discussion.
Human beings just play the game.
Yeah, empathy for him, because that is not... That was incredibly difficult to know and then watch and then see what happens, and you hit that home run the way you do. It's just, yeah, got to separate the athlete from the actual person there. But regardless, yes, he gave up that home run to Ellie De La Cruz, who had a lot going on yesterday, to say the very least. But it just stands to realize how... This has been really symbiotic when it comes to the Cubs needing the most out of him at a time where their 1 and 2 are down. And then Jameson Taillon coming through and not only answering that call, but saying, I'm going to go 6+ for you. I'm going to try everything I can to make sure I do to help keep that bullpen as fresh as possible. That's something that he's talked about, their responsibility. And then not only that, but X and Y were not working against these particular batters, so I'm going to try something different, and that's where the kick change comes from. We've talked about it a little bit, but let's go back and listen to what Ian Happ told us last week at Brick House about a guy he knows very well working on his craft.
That's super impressive. I think his ability, when I was on the IL, I was able to stand in on one of his bullpens and just some of the things he was working on, and his ability to throw... 5, 6, 7 pitches, and to do it in a way that it's not easy at this point in your career to add something. He's been really successful over the course of his career. He's been out there and he's had great years, and he gives you a chance to win every time he's out. And so to keep adding things, hey, I don't think I'm being as successful against, or I don't have this pitch to lefties. Well, here, let's try this changeup, and to find a feel for it and to be able to do it. And this year, he had been really successful with the backdoor cutter last year. This year, guys were kind of, lefties were hitting his backdoor cutter. And to be able to say, well, maybe I need to make a change to that. Maybe I need to throw more curveballs or more sweepers or more of this other pitch plus a kick change to lefties to be more successful. The hip shot sinker he's been able to execute a bunch of times this year. And just to continue to build his arsenal and continue to think through the game start to start is pretty impressive. And I think you've seen the results of that and just how consistent and how effective he's been. And it's in the game today, it's really easy to highlight and get super excited about the guys that go out and give you 7 innings, 8 innings. They have a 0.8 ERA. Like, yeah, that's awesome. It's fantastic. There's only a handful of guys in baseball who are able to do that. A guy that goes out every day, gives you quality starts every fifth day where it's 2 runs, it's 3 runs, it's 6 innings, it's 7 innings, and you're just always in the baseball game. And with our offense and our lineup, like, that is so huge for us to be able to, he goes out there and we know we're going to be in the game in the 6th or 7th inning. It's really fun to play behind.
Yeah, and you know what happens then after that? They get to the other team's bullpen and wreck shop.
I like the rec shop aspect of this. And when you have a starter on your team that's getting 6+, that means that they're not wrecking shop on your bullpens, because you're probably going to have higher leverage guys in there when they finally enter the game. This was his 4th straight quality start. Over his last 3 starts, the man's ERA is a 1.83. He's gone at least 6 innings in each of those starts. And without Shota Imanaga, someone had to step up and not necessarily be an ace type, but just be a guy that could keep you literally in the game.
De facto ace is acting like ace in responsibility.
That's a fair way to put it.
He took on the responsibility and he's like, cool, okay, I'm going to work on some things. Be right back. And then that's what's happened. How do you feel about the pitching mix that we saw yesterday? So it was Taillon going 6 1/3. Then it was Caleb Thielbar, who technically gets the hold. That is 2/3 of an inning. I always say technically because that was a Scott Boras-induced stat. Sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes it doesn't. Then you had Ryan Pressly throw an inning. And then after that, you had Ryan Brazier come into the game, which... I get it. It was at the time like a lower leverage situation, and we see the Reds score 1 run off of him. But again, just knowing how to use your resources when it's high leverage, like when Thielbar came in relief of Taillon, and then knowing when to back off. Ryan Pressly comes in, and how did you feel about his outing that we saw?
I was back on board with Ryan Pressly after seeing him. Do you know that's his 9th straight outing without giving up a run?
There it is.
Not only is it his 9th straight outing after giving up a run, of course, we remember the 8 runs he gave up the time before those 9, And that's what the issue was.
Clunker.
He looked like a guy back in command. 15 pitches to get three outs. He struck out the side. There was swing and miss stuff involved. And he's had more of that over his last three or four appearances where guys are swinging at pitches and missing. That's like the most important thing. Yes, it's cool if you can induce flyouts, ground outs.
No, it is not double cool. Play balls. I don't think fly ball outs are cool anymore. I'm sorry.
Well, it's cool if the wind's blowing in like it was this past weekend in Wrigley.
When you hear the solid contact and you get up and you're like, oh, okay.
Saved at the warning track?
Yeah. 2 minutes. Like hard hit balls, no. I'll take the ground ball outs and the strikeouts, thanks.
So for me, it's like, okay, he seems like he's closer to moving back into a position in which he can be useful in high leverage. He came in a low leverage situation. He pitched the eighth inning of a 7-2 ball game after the Cubs had just scored two runs the inning prior. But the thing was, you talked about Brazier coming in the ninth. Here's why I don't like that Brazier gave up the run. The positive side, that was the first run the Cubs bullpen had given up on the entire homestand. That's one.
Home stand?
As in like six games. They made it to two outs before they gave up their first bullpen run.
I thought for sure they gave up one against the Rockies.
Did they?
Yeah, I think it was the game we were at.
Maybe so. Maybe
was that the or was
maybe
that,
it was just the series. Yeah, oh, you're right. They scored in the 11th. Yeah. They scored in the 11th.
Yeah.
But the point being, now Daniel Palencia has to get up. I didn't like that. Now, there's an off day today. But if they had a game today and Daniel Palencia had to get up, and that might be a reason he can't pitch today and tomorrow, two games in a row, that's problematic. That's really problematic. So I get it. You guys got to get work, right? But I like the idea of there being more high leverage options for Craig Counsell. And he's kind of created and cultivated a buffet of guys where before, when Porter Hodge went down, you're wondering, what are they going to do? A week later, that's not really an issue.
Well, it hasn't been. And that's it. It's not necessarily managing like this is game 7 of the World Series. It's managing knowing that you can get through X, Y, and Z right now to get you to get into the playoffs. Like that to me is the essence of what people compliment Craig Counsell about. You know, that's it, is trying to find the best way to get from point A to B. What's amusing to me is people forget how many times Joe Maddon actually did that. You know, the famous Travis, it's not Wood. Who am I thinking of? It was Wood, but what was his
David name? Eckstein.
No, not David Eckstein. Who was playing left, the reliever? 2016.
What about Danks?
Was definitely not him. Which, by the way, we had a big discussion about Danks because Danks got paid. So, like, it was never going to be what about Danks because people knew. But that kind of takes the fun out of it. Point being, That was something that we saw Maddon do from time to time, was get weird. You know, he wouldn't be afraid to use people in different scenarios. Confident about what he saw out of his leadoff hitter, but after that, you know, he would get creative. And I think we do see that a little bit when it comes to how Craig Counsell is managing these guys, especially when it comes to not being afraid to use certain people in certain innings. There might be no better example than how we have seen everybody ever pitch in the ninth this week.
I don't know that that's a great thing. I like the idea of Palencia or Keller. Keller, Palencia. Like, if you had to stack, hey, the Cubs have a one-run lead and it's bullpen time, 7, 8, 9, what are you doing?
It was Travis Wood in left field. I hadn't said his name in forever. It didn't feel right.
So I don't think that...
You're right.
Craig Counsell necessarily has guys he has to use in different situations, but I do like the idea of an ordered 7, 8, 9.
Also, you just got a diversified bullpen. That's the other thing. It doesn't necessarily have to do with handedness. It's the fact that you have a guy throwing 100. You have three former starting pitchers who have all reinvented themselves, so you know they can be flexible. You have guys who were in the minor leagues and then they came back, same dude throwing 100. You have somebody who's homegrown who has taught you that he's valuable in high-stress situations, and a guy like Porter Hodge. You got a veteran that you traded for in Ryan Pressly, who I think has said to us, even this show, that he hates losing so much that you know it bothered him, most likely. So then he's going to fight his way back into figuring out how he fits into this, and has been doing the job that he's been asked to do ever since. Yeah, that's a big piece of this. I wonder if we get to the bottom of that a little bit more this week, just as a reporting crew. I know they're going away and it's on the road, but that seems like a discussion where at some point you want to ask Presley about what he's been doing that's been working, you know?
Well, what he's doing is working. The specifics of it, I am genuinely curious about, but it seems like Craig Counsell has this bullpen in as good a shape as it's been in all season long, and that's without Porter Hodge.
Also, I just can't believe that I'm talking about a good, consistent Cubs bullpen. I don't know that I can say it all because I don't want to jinx it. If I'm the one jinxing it, guys, I need to be in a different line of work, like as in higher paid, and I can control things. I would start with the weather myself, perhaps the lottery. What would you control if you can control something? If you could jinx something or control something, what would it be?
I would control Ben Brown's ability to start games. I don't know. Like I'm with the sports therapy team in there, making sure my guys know what it is and what it ain't.
I've got something for you.
What you got?
They're not low rates, but the Ben Brown thing. Let's discuss it next. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Four.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, Ben pitched great. Absolutely his best start of the year. On the attack, aggressive, just in the strike zone a whole bunch, controlling counts a whole bunch. So it was outstanding performance. You know, like I said before the game, you do it because you're going to avoid the first, their top of their lineup once, and it gives you a little more control over kind of maybe, you're deeper in the game, but that's why you do it.
That's Craig Counsell, and we examine what happened on Saturday. It was something that we started our show with. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. And that was a big question we had. First thing we did when we walked into the parking lot at Wrigleyville Dogs was try to figure out who was going to star on Saturday and what the plan was going to be. So that was a big part of the entire discussion, as we know. Cubs end up not only coming through getting their first win of the series in that series on Saturday, they took the other one on Sunday, but the way they were able to creatively, would you say account? Is that creative accounting when you win a 2-0 ball game with Drew Pomeranz throwing one inning and then just getting out of the way for Ben Brown to go six? Like, that's one of the more unique ways I've seen pitching be deployed in a while.
It was a great hors d'oeuvre. It's like when you go to your favorite restaurant and they got that one fire hors d'oeuvre. You love everything on the menu, right? But that one fire hors d'oeuvre gets it started.
Tuna crudo at Rosemary.
Okay, there you go. So that's what Drew Pomeranz was. Came in the game, hadn't given up an earned run all season. Guess what? Left the game, hadn't given up an earned run all season. And he pitched 9 pitches. It was 1, 2, 3, bang, bang, bang. And then it was like, all right, Ben Brown, got through the first 3 batters of the order. Do your thing. The man gave up 1 hit and struck out 9 over 6 innings.
That is very much the biggest example of know your personnel I've seen in a while. Like, clearly the first inning is a bugaboo for him and it's messing with his head. It was kind of like the Bears in the 3rd round of the draft this year. I can't criticize you about the 3rd round of the draft if you don't draft anybody in it. Can't struggle in the first inning if you don't pitch it.
And it's one thing when you talk about openers, and we've seen the White Sox do it several times this season, and Craig Counsell just kind of explaining how they wanted to get past that inning. Now, ultimately, you want Ben Brown to take the mound in the first inning and be a great starter and have a great career as a starting pitcher. But right now, the goal is to win games. And after giving up 8 runs and 6 runs and his 2 previous starts, after having an ERA over 9 in the first inning of games this season, this was a quick fix to say, hey, maybe we can get this man's confidence back where it needs to be. And clearly it worked. Again, just 1 hit allowed for the game, for everybody. That's great outing for Cubs pitching, a 2-0 shutout.
If you do the blind resume, or you know the graphic where it's like, name this combination or something, and you don't know the details, all you know is one aspect. And the aspect is pitchers used in game and 2-0 win. Ben Brown, Drew Pomeranz, Brad Keller, Daniel Palencia. You would be like, oh, that's definitely the order it went in, right? Ben Brown, then Pomeranz, and Keller, Palencia. No! It was completely different, and that's why I liked it. It was one of the more creative uses I've seen. And for him to be able to go with it, you know, for him to have a level of belief that this was going to work. You know, in movies we talk about maintaining disbelief. In this case, it was the opposite. Like, I would tell myself, yeah, not so fast, trick. Like, that's okay. Cute. Like, that's something that you can say, like, oh, you're trying to baby me into this game? No, I'm going to mess it up in the second inning. Shows you.
And this is
that's what I would do.
This is why it was so effective. If you were wondering, okay, how does Ben Brown feel about this? All you had to do was listen to him after the game explaining his knowledge and self-awareness of how he was dealing with first innings prior.
I think that the 5th inning struggles this year have been more of a product of the 1st inning struggles, and I don't know if that's exactly the case, but we kind of saw it today. It's like, I think it is really reflective of how I opened up the game. I mean, today I opened up the game with a strike. I think if you want to go through all my, I mean, if I throw a ball one my next start, I'm not going to hit the panic button, but if you go through my last couple of starts, even dating back to last year, there's not a lot of strike ones to start the game. So it's just going to be important for me. And I think just having good executed, even like I said, even if it's ball one, there's no reason to hit the panic button. I can throw a strike. It's not that hard, but just pretty cool to see that. There's been a real lapse of execution in the first innings this year for me, and it's been hard. It's, you know, we saw it even in the Arizona game. I had a solid game, but that first inning just filled off, or the first batter especially, and then it kind of took something. I think we can even date back to last year. It was almost like I was waiting for something good to happen in the first inning rather than me being on attack and being the one that could execute those pitches. That was a theme of all my starts last year. There was always something. I can tell you every start that what was the thing that got me online. And that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not what it is like the rest of the game and the rest of the outing. So it's up to me to really, you know, force the hand, but without overthrowing and without coming out of myself. And it's like an interesting dynamic, but like I said, I'm just thankful for the work that we've been putting in, and it doesn't stop. I have to be reminded of one thing today, is that I felt really far out of it after these last two outings, and I'm a lot closer to today than I thought I was, and then I'm also a lot closer to those bad outings than I think I am right now. So I really have to just do a good job of staying level-headed and just pitch by pitch.
How can you not love an introspective pitcher walking you through what he's going through, how he's mentally accepting the challenge and being tasked to understand where he is relative to the worst and the best of himself?
Well, also, he's been consistent in his argument. He has said before that the first inning was really where the game got out of hand, and then the fifth inning was a result of it. Like, he's very much a times through the order type of guy, too. That might be a little bit more as to how he's weaving it together mentally. So you're seeing that occur when how he's describing it. Like, this is far from the first time he said later innings were the product of earlier ones. So for him to be able to use that framework to psych himself out of it is incredibly powerful. The next question becomes, what's next? Are you going to have the same scenario again where it's going to be a Pomeranz type or somebody else in front of you? Is it Flexi, or as we know, Ian Happ calls him Flex, Chris Flexen? Like, what's the next scenario for you to be successful in that space?
It'll be interesting to see exactly what the approach will be the next time he's scheduled to pitch, whether it will be Pomeranz or someone who starts the game for him. You can keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs versus Pittsburgh at Wrigley Field, June 12th. It's all provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch.
You did a good job with that. I always want to say like Rick Ross.
Stop.
Bosch.
Stop. Stop. Style.
He's the biggest Bosch I would say that you've seen thus far.
I would say this isn't that type of show, but this is indeed that type of show. So that's not surprising.
My favorite Rick Ross gif is the one where he's in the office wearing the UGK sweatshirt and he just throws money at people.
At least he's wearing clothes. I like Rick Ross when he's covered up top.
I'm going to let that man be. Okay. I can't contain him.
So can many of his shirts not contain him either.
Also, before we get to Jamal Collier, who is at the top of the hour, I had a good giggle at this question from 708. Sox fan here. Please give me a heads up if you're going to talk about the Rick Hahn interview. I'm still getting over Mully's reaction. I said, yes, 12:45. They said, thanks for not putting Hahn and five on it. I enjoy that segment too much.
That's sad.
Five on it.
So that's later in the show. Jamal Collier, let's talk NBA playoffs, Bulls Emos next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.